Well, good morning, everyone. I'm grateful for your presence. Thanks for being here. For those of you who are joining us online, thanks for joining us. And especially if you are here in the San Antonio area, we would love for you to come join us on the weekend, any chance that you get. Now, I talk to a lot of people who say, you know, large groups, they're just not really my thing. Well, that's okay, because we have small groups. Did I mention we have small groups? We do. And this is a great time to get involved in our small groups, because we are beginning a brand new series. We're in the third week of a series we're calling Alive in Us. And there are a couple reasons why I think we should be in groups. Our hope is that everyone will find a group or a smaller community to be a part of. Because number one, life is just hard. And it's really hard if you try to do it alone. We need people in our lives to go through life with us. The second reason is that we are discussing in our groups right now that are starting up all across the city. The most important thing that you can have to have power in your life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Could anyone use any power in their life? I just want to see if I'm in the right place. Okay, there are a few of us. Okay, yeah, sign me up, right? And I'm not like talking about the kind of power like I can kind of put on a good face and convince you, you know, you say, how are you? And I go, I'm fine. And you go, oh, well, you must be fine. I'm not talking about that kind of power. I'm talking about power for the struggles that we have in our lives that no one but us will ever know about. No one will ever see in us. I mean, we can come together for an hour or so on a weekend and, you know, put on a smile. One of my sons asked me very, very honest, very sincere question. He said, Dad, this was after a weekend full of services. He said, Dad, does your face ever hurt from smiling so much? I said, well, I never really thought about that, but yeah, I guess it kind of does. But that's not what I'm not talking about that kind of power, because here's the truth. Now, as a Jesus follower, please don't get me wrong, I have a lot of reason to smile. But here's the truth. Even for the Jesus follower, we struggle too. Can I get an amen? Any Jesus followers in this place and know the struggles that we have, talking about the ones that people never see, just the ones that we know about, we struggle too. Here's the difference. The Jesus follower struggles just like everyone else, but the only difference is we do not struggle alone. You see, we have an unfailing friend who is alive in us, and we call him the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever encountered the Holy Spirit. For some of you, it may be a first encounter. For some, it may be a fresh encounter. But I want to continue today in our series to introduce you to him. And specifically, I want you to see how the Holy Spirit can bring calm during times of chaos. Again, could anybody use any calm? Okay, then we're in the right place. Let's pray about that. Then we're going to dive into the Word. Father, we're grateful for your presence. We are grateful for the giving of your Holy Spirit to us. If not for your Holy Spirit, none of this would even be possible. We could not speak your truth. We could not hear your truth. So we pray your blessing upon the preaching of your word, upon the hearing of your word, and upon the doing of your word. Father, we desperately want to see Jesus. And only Jesus. And all those who agreed said, Amen. If you have your Bibles, please do go ahead and turn them to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin in the beginning. Now, the Holy Spirit, to reveal himself to us through Scripture, uses metaphor. Because sometimes God the Father, we can kind of understand that. God the Son, we can see that in our mind's eye, that we get that. But the Holy Spirit, sometimes we need that metaphor given in Scripture, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit has done for us. The first one that we see is this idea of the hovering presence, this metaphor of the hovering presence. So we see this in Genesis chapter 1. Maybe you wonder if the world has ever been as chaotic as it is right now. I get that, but I want you to know the truth is, yes, it has been more chaotic. Look at this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. I want to just stop right there for just a second. I want us to look at this word formless. It carries with it this idea, or actually comes from the Hebrew word tohu. Now, by the way, that's not what like vegans eat or something like that. It's different. It's a Hebrew word, tohu. Everybody say that with me. Tohu. Yeah. So it carries with it this idea of chaos, confusion, an empty place. That's the state that the earth was in. It was formless, but it did not stay in that state. And I want you to see why. As we continue to read, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, hovering over the waters. Now, we see this one other time in Scripture, but before we get to that, I want you to see that there's this beautiful dance that has taken place. And I've heard from some of you in your small groups, you've had questions about, what are we talking about when we talk about the Trinity? What are we, you know, God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit? Here in creation is a great example for us to understand how God is three in one. Because there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are all fully God. It's not as if God the Father is more God than God the Spirit, or God the Spirit more God. No, they are all fully God. Now, what they have is distinct roles and functions. We see that here in creation. But they are one in perfect purpose. This is why we say they are three in one. And now, at this point in creation, or actually before creation takes place, the role of the Holy Spirit is to hover over the chaos. We see this one other time in Deuteronomy. I want you to see this. This is God talking about his relationship with Israel. He says, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. God is saying, this is what my relationship with Israel is like. Like an eagle, like hovering over the nest, protecting its young. Now, what is it doing? Well, it's calming the nest. The eagle hovers over the nest to calm the nest, just as the Spirit of God hovered over the chaos to calm the chaos. I want us to read this one more time, Genesis 1. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now look at this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Before God would create the world, the Spirit would calm the world. Before, let there be light, the Spirit was bringing calm in the dark. The Holy Spirit is not only a hovering presence, but we get another metaphor here. It is one of a gentle presence. Now, for this metaphor, we're going to go from the first book of the Old Testament to the first book of the New Testament in Matthew. We begin to see yet another metaphor. This time, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's about to begin his ministry, and then the Spirit of God descends upon him in this moment like, well, you'll see. Let's read in Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. Now see what happens. And he saw the, who? Spirit of God descending like a dove. Like a dove. And coming to rest on him. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but wonder, why a dove? I mean, of all the metaphors that the Holy Spirit could have given us for himself, he gives us the dove. I would have thought in this moment, I don't know about you, but I would have liked some lightning. I mean, come on, some thunder. Give me some, I mean, this is Jesus beginning his ministry and the heavens are opened up and God's about to say, hey, you need to listen to him. Maybe a little earthquake. I mean, nothing, you know, nothing too destructive, but just like shake it out. I mean, put the fear of God in these people. But it wasn't for them. It was for Jesus. The Spirit of God was descending for the sake of Jesus. And in this moment, he descends like a dove. But why a dove? There are a few reasons that I can think of. I'd like to share with you a little bit of my understanding of this metaphor. But number one, a dove is a symbol of motherhood. A symbol of motherhood. I don't know if you knew this. I just recently discovered this. But a dove produces its own milk for its offspring. I don't quite understand how it does this, but it actually stops eating before it gives birth to its offspring, days before. Basically, kind of starves itself so that it can produce the purest form of milk that the young offspring can digest. I didn't know this about a dove. Apparently, there are some other birds. I had a guy come up after the service last night, and he said, "Do you know that flamingos do the same thing?" I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit did not reveal itself as a flamingo. It revealed itself as a dove, so we're going to stick with that." But it produces its own milk, and it wants the young to be able to die. And, I mean, let's get this straight. The dove is sacrificing itself for its young. Does that sound like any moms that you know? Yes, amen. It's a symbol of motherhood. Now, we see this in our home. I see this in my home all the time. I'll tell you how I know that my kids have had a really bad day. They walk in and they say, "Where's mom? When is mom getting home?" That's when I know. Because when I see that my kids are having a bad day, here's kind of what I do. I want to know the problem, and I want to be able to think about the solution. Here's the solution. Now let's fix it, and let's move on, right? I mean, this isn't that hard. Let's just fix it and move on. Alicia takes a different tact. She will notice that they're having a bad day, and she will sometimes not even say anything. She'll just walk over to them. She'll put her arm around them and just give them a hug. Maybe even listen to them. And they talk and they talk it out, and she listens and they feel better. See, sometimes we need the strength of a father. And sometimes we need friendship from a brother or a sister. And sometimes what we need is the nurture of a loving mother. The tranquility and the calm that a mother can bring in that moment. Maybe you've experienced it. I have many times. I still go to my mom sometimes. I just want to know what she thinks about something. But the dove is a symbol of motherhood. But the dove is also an image of gentleness. I had the opportunity a few weeks ago to go have dinner with a couple from here at Oak Hills. They live out in the hill country on a ranch. And we had dinner together. And a few weeks before this, they had actually come across on their ranch a wounded dove. And they didn't think the dove had any chance to make it, but they rescued this dove and basically nursed it back to health. It wasn't quite ready to go back into the wild, and so it was just hanging out in their living room, in a cage, of course. But as we went through dinner, and we would, the dove would hear the sound of our voices, it would respond with this, this soft cooing. You ever heard a dove coo? It's just such a gentle sound. And I was just sitting there that whole time thinking, I'm so glad that they did not rescue a crow. Or a buzzard, or a raven, I don't know. Not all birds are that gentle, but the dove is, there's this gentle presence about the dove that reveals to us something about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not only a hovering presence and not only a gentle presence, but also a calming presence. The Holy Spirit is a calming presence. Now, again, I don't know about you, but I believe that here in America especially, we need some calm. We need some calm. We did not need a study for this, but the American Psychiatric Association tells us that 51% of Americans describe themselves as anxious. I'm thinking that might be a little low. We didn't need a study to tell this, but we could use some calm. As someone has termed it, we live in the age of outrage. Oh, we don't even know who we should be mad at sometimes. We just feel like we should be mad about something. Something's not right if I'm not mad about something. Or maybe the emotion is sadness. Maybe the emotion is worry. We begin to worry about the fact that we're so worried. We could use some calm. One thing's for sure, the chaos around us is nothing compared to the chaos within us. We worry about all sorts of things. We worry about our kids. At some point, we get old enough, we get to worry about our parents. Some of us are kind of in that not-so-sweet spot where we get to worry about both at the same time. And then we do. We get anxious about the fact that we are anxious. We pontificate, we berate, we over-exaggerate, and that's just the way that we talk to ourselves. We could use some calm. We all experience this. It happens to all of us. Now, it happens to some of us more than others. It happens more often to some. But it is not a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of a weak faith. It is not a sign of immaturity. It is not a sign of demon possession. It's tohu. It's chaos. It's anxiety. It's the car breaking down and relationships breaking up. It's laying awake in the middle of the night, you know, praying for daylight. Right? If that is you, if that's where you are, I want you to know that you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, access to the presence of the Holy Spirit to calm your chaos, no matter what storm you find yourself in. This was really good news for Jesus' earliest followers when they found themselves in a storm. It was not a metaphor. I'm talking a real storm. They're in the middle of the sea, and their boat is spinning, and the waves are starting to crash over the boat to the point that the boat is about to fill up. They are freaking out because they are sinking, and they are going down, and their fearless leader, Jesus, has gone down for a nap. He is asleep in the stern of the boat. And I would imagine it was very dark, but it didn't keep them from feeling the water just splashing on them, and they're beginning to feel the water kind of coming up in the boat, and they're starting to yell at Jesus over the crashing waves. Do you even care, Jesus? We're going down. We are about to die right here. Like, this is it. We're about to die. Do you even care? And I want you to see how Jesus responds in Mark chapter 4. And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was great, what? Now, I want you to notice that Jesus had calm before the calm. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus had calm before the calm came. He had a peaceful presence in the storm because he knew that the presence of the Spirit over the storm. Now, how could he have that? Well, he had seen it before. You see, we know from other places in Scripture that Jesus was there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the Spirit was hovering over the chaos. He was there. He had seen it before. But the disciples had seen it before, too. Look at this from Mark chapter 1. They came across a man who was actually demon-possessed. But Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And guess what happened? That spirit came out of him. And for that man, he experienced calm during a time of chaos. And you can too. Look at this from 2 Timothy. It says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Could we just read that verse aloud together? Except when we get to this point, just put a "me" instead of an "us" right here. Will you say this aloud with me? "For God gave me a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." If you are in Christ, Christ is within you, and you have the Holy Spirit within you. But we have to invite the Spirit into our life. We have to be open to the Spirit to bring that calm into our life. So for just a moment, I want to be really practical here. You're gonna be talking more about this in your small groups if you haven't already met and talked about this. But here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us to have a calm in the storm action plan. A calm in the storm action plan. For you, maybe it's that here's what you want to start doing. You want to start going through Scripture and just looking for the Scriptures that talk about the peace of God that comes through the Spirit, the peace of God, and just start writing them down. You're calm in the storm action plan. Just write those down because you're going to need those. When the storm comes, if the storm hasn't hit, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. So you're going to want those. Even better, you can write those down and start meditating on those Scriptures right now. And guess what happens? Those Scriptures get hidden in your heart, and when the storm hits, they are there right at the moment when you need them. Maybe for some of you, your calm in the storm action plan, you just know you're kind of going through life alone. I mean, yeah, you're surrounded by a lot of people and you got a lot of acquaintances, but you know you're dealing with stuff that nobody knows about and you don't feel like you can tell anybody. You need at least one person, maybe a small group of people who can know about you. If you don't have that, life is hard enough, but when you're doing it alone, it's tough. Maybe your action plan needs to include, you're just going to open up to somebody and you're going to say, "Hey, can I just share with you what's going on in my life? Speak into my life. I'm giving you permission. I am insisting right now that I'm going to tell you something and then I need you to hold me accountable." Maybe that's what you need in this moment. Maybe for some of you, what you need is a song. I mean, a song that you can listen to. I mean, when you're starting to feel the chaos, I do this a lot. I find a song, you know, that I can listen to, that I can sing along with. It doesn't matter if your voice is good. It doesn't matter. Just sing along with it. Now, I want to be careful here because I do not want to oversimplify anxiety. There are times when we need counseling. There are times when someone needs medication. There are times where we need to do breathing exercises. We need to meditate. I am not discounting that. But for most of us, what we need in times of chaos, your greatest weapon with worry is prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. This was the weapon of choice for the Apostle Paul and his buddy Silas. We find in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas got themselves in some trouble. They are headed to a place of prayer. You'd think, I mean, how much trouble can we get into headed to a place of prayer? But they found it. And they found themselves in the middle of the crowd being beaten by rods, broken, bloodied, beaten, bruised. They found themselves being thrown in jail. Maximum security. I mean, they were putting them in the chains. They were locking them up deep. I don't know if they were afraid that they were going to get away from them or what. But Paul and Silas find themselves in this jail cell. I want you to see what happens along about midnight. Acts chapter 16, along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer. Get this. They were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. The other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Oh, you think? Okay, then without warning, if that wasn't enough, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered, every door flew open, and all the prisoners were loose. They were set free in that moment. Now, those prisoners had to be thinking, what in the world would they have to pray about? What in the world would they have to sing about? As far as I can see, there's no reason to be singing at midnight when you're stuck and in jail. But here's what they did see. They were not praising for deliverance. They were praising the deliverer. Now, how do I know that? Listen, they had not read Acts chapter 16. They did not know the end of the story. They didn't know that the earthquake was coming. They did not know how the story was going to end. Yet, they were praying and they were singing anyway. They had not read Acts chapter 16, but I do wonder if they had ever read Psalm 34. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us as we pray. It is not a question of, will you experience anxiety? The question is, will you experience the calming presence of the Spirit in your life? You see, the same Spirit that calmed the chaos before creation is now here available to us to calm the chaos in our lives so that we can be recreated. So that we can be transformed into the image of Christ more and more each day. No, we're not living perfect, but every day, moment by moment, the Spirit within us is making us more like Christ. And I have to wonder, I mean, aren't you ready for a season of strength in your life? Aren't you ready for a season of power? God did not create you to live a worn-out life. He did not create you to live a stressed out, worn down life. God created you for passion and for energy in your life. He created you for the abundant life, for the full life. That's what he created you for. The question is, will we experience the calming presence of the Spirit? Will we experience the hovering presence of the Spirit, the gentle presence of the Spirit, the calming presence of the Spirit? Will your circumstance change? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, the same man who was freed from his prison cell, a great earthquake came and the prisoners were set loose, and the Apostle Paul found himself in another prison cell in another time. But this time there was no earthquake. This time there was no deliverance. But yet that was the same man in that moment that would pen the words, "Be anxious for nothing." He would not be delivered that time, yet this was the man who would say, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say it, rejoice." He was the man that would say that you can have the peace that passes all earthly understanding. It will guard your heart and mind May the peace of God be with you. I believe God is calling you to a new season. A season of strength, not of your own strength, not we're going to do this better. I'm talking about a season of strength that is supernatural, it is beyond our natural power. And in the midst of that, you will find that the chaos will find calm. May the God of peace be with you. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your presence, for your Spirit. You know the chaos in our lives. You know the sometimes anger, sometimes anxiety, sometimes just this overwhelming sense of worry that we experience. You know all of that. And we want to give it to you. We want to invite the presence of the Spirit to come and to calm us in this moment. We thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.